Mark Kurlansky thinks 1968 is the year that rocked the world. In fact, that's the subtitle of his book, called simply 1968. Kurlansky told Steve Paulson that TV played an important role in that tumultuous year.
It just happened that 1968 was a critical moment in the development of television. They were just beginning to get the technology together on satellite transmissions, and also the switch from film to videotape, which didn't have to be processed so that you could broadcast immediately after something happened, which is, you know, what was done in the riots at the Chicago Convention. The riots were still going on as people were watching it on television.
This is real bedlam. This is the worst it's been so far here in Chicago. Police running across here.
Another factor in making 1968 what it was is the whole more than 10 years of the civil rights movement that had gone before it. And the civil rights movement had become fairly sophisticated at how to get television coverage and had been watched all over the world and was greatly admired all over the world.
Now, certainly one of the momentous events in 1968 was the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. How did that change the political landscape?
There was a lot of change going on in the civil rights movement at the time, and it was not swinging Martin Luther King's way at all. A lot of people were losing faith in the whole concept of nonviolence, and it was being replaced by black power. And there was a split, a tension. And of course, the nonviolent approach completely lost out when its most important spokesperson was killed.
I'm only going to talk to you just for a minute or so this evening because I have some very sad news for all of you, and that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis, Tennessee. Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings.
If you just think of who Martin Luther King was, not the saint that he has been made into since his death, but the real man who is this eloquent rebel. We could have had his voice for the past 35 years. What a loss that has been to this country. I mean, it's just staggering when you think about it.
There must be some kind of way out of here, say the Joker to the thief.
Now, from an international perspective, certainly if you were an American at the time, the Vietnam War was the issue, and the protests against the war had been escalating over the years, but they seemed
not
to...
Not only if you were an American, huge anti-war movements all over the world. It was the age of decolonization, and Vietnam was seen as a former colony that was struggling for its independence at a time when Europe had been forced to move away from its imperialism, and the United States seemed to be filling that gap and playing the role of the imperialist oppressor.
So why did things come to a head over Vietnam in 1968?
Well, because it was the worst year of the war. 15,000 Americans and a few hundred thousand Vietnamese died in that war in 1968 alone. You know, every week in 1968, the U.S. killed more people in Vietnam than died in the World Trade Center attack. It was the bloodiest year of the war. And it was also the year when it just became completely obvious that the government and the military were lying about the progress of the war, that there was, in fact, no building of democracy, that the South Vietnamese government was completely corrupt and unpopular, that the U.S. military, in spite of winning battle by battle, was not winning the war.
Yeah, come on, all you big strong men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. He's got himself in a terrible jam. Way down yonder in Vietnam. So put down your book, pick up a gun. We're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's one, like a two, like a three. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next up is Vietnam. Five, six, seven, open up the pearly gate. I ain't no
one of the results of all of this ferment about the Vietnam War and the sobering reality that the U.S. was not going to win this war was that President Lyndon Johnson decided not to run for re-election.
Yeah, one of the big mysteries really of the year for a fighter like Johnson, there was still every reason to believe that he could win the nomination in the election, and it was very uncharacteristic of him to bow out in a real bombshell because, you know, everybody's thinking about the year was based on the power of Lyndon Johnson.
I do not believe that I should devote an hour or a day of my time to any personal partisan causes or to any duties other than the awesome duties of this office, the presidency of your country. Accordingly, I shall not seek, and I will not accept, the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
And one of the responses to his dropping out is that Bobby Kennedy emerged as a leading candidate, probably the leading candidate for the Democratic Party, and he seemed to be a viable peace candidate who could actually become president.
Yeah, and he was who they had wanted in the first place. I mean, there were a group of anti-war people such as Allard Lowenstein who sought to put up an anti-war candidate. And the anti-war candidate they had wanted was Bobby Kennedy, but he refused to run. And so they settled on Gene McCarthy. And they were very unhappy with McCarthy. He just didn't run a good campaign. Very popular among college kids, but in those days, college kids couldn't vote. The voting age was 21. Of course, a lot of the McCarthy people were very angered later when Bobby decided to step in. But, I mean, here was a guy who, as you say, was a very viable candidate, had the not only the Kennedy name, but boundless energy and political skills.
But then that dream of another Kennedy in the White House abruptly ended. He was assassinated in California.
Yeah, I mean, what a profound change in the history of this country that was. You know, it seemed almost like 1968 was a year of tremendous hope and optimism in some ways, and so much of that died in California when he was shot.
But what we had then was the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Again, all hell broke loose there.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to note that when Daley had managed to get the convention in Chicago, there was a convention center that subsequently burned down. And so all these venues were shifted, and the way it was now set up to march from the park to the convention meant marching through his neighborhood, you know, and he wasn't going to let a bunch of hippies march through his neighborhood.
And it's true that part of the response was that, look at all these long-haired kids protesting against the Vietnam War. I mean, one way to read
this is in
middle America, those protesters did not come off looking
good. It was initially very much against Daley, and even the government report was against Daley and said that, you know, it was a police riot. But as time went on, it swung more to his favor and against the demonstrators.
The confrontation was not created by the police. The confrontation was created by the people who charged the police. Gentlemen, get the thing straight once and for all. The policeman isn't there to create disorder. The policeman is there to preserve disorder.
Now, another hotbed of ferment in 1968 was Paris. The students were talking openly of revolution, and it wasn't just the students. There were a lot of other people who were joining in as well, and they were united by this hatred of their leader, General de Gaulle.
Yeah, I mean, de Gaulle was a 19th-century man and a 19th-century leader, and many people in France felt that he was holding them back. But there was this tremendous illusion that they had taken over the country because the workers went on a general strike at the same time the students were striking and effectively completely shut down the country, and you couldn't buy gasoline, you couldn't buy anything. And this made a huge impression on students in America and students in Mexico and everywhere because, you know, that's how you make a revolution is you get the students and the intellectuals hand in hand with the workers, and then you've done something. You've done a revolution.
But there were massive protests, particularly in Paris, weren't there?
Yes, well, there was a, you know, there was a moment when they closed the country down, just completely closed the town.
You know, when you look back at 1968, it seems that the world was a much worse place by the end of the year than the beginning. I mean, you saw the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy, saw the Prague Spring crushed, the Vietnam War was spiraling out of control, any sense of compromise was going out the window. I mean, the militants were taking over in various movements. Is that your take?
You know, you have to ask, given all the really terrible things that happened in 1968, why do people look back on it with nostalgia? And I think that one of the main reasons why they do is that there was this tremendous optimism about political activism. There was the belief that you could change the world. If you had no other avenue open for expression, you could stand out in the street and scream, and thousands of people would scream with you, and you had a voice.
Mark Kurlansky is the author of 1968, the year that rocked the world. He spoke with Steve Paulson.